CrossFit Games athlete, I attended my CrossFit Level 1 seminar. There, I became absolutely enchanted with the definition of fitness and health that Coach Greg Glassman developed. In particular, the sickness-wellness-fitness continuum took hold of a special place in my heart. A couple years later, I began my training to become a physician, and the gap between wellness and fitness in the U.S. healthcare system became gapingly apparent. Instead of maximizing health, we're simply fighting disease, much of which can be prevented in the first place. I believe every person has a right to basic knowledge of how to care for themselves and maximize the potential of their mind, body, and spirit. Following the conclusion of my career as a competitive CrossFit Games athlete, here I hope to bring you influential individuals and ideas that will help you live healthier, more fulfilling lives. I'm Julie Fouché, and I'd like to welcome you to Pursuing Health. Welcome to the very first episode of Pursuing Health. I'm so excited about this next adventure, and I can think of no better person to kick this podcast off with than the one and only Rich Froning. He doesn't need much of an introduction, but he's competed for the past 5 years as an individual in the CrossFit Games, and he's taken home the title of Fittest Man on Earth for the past 4 years in a row. This year, he's shifting gears, and he'll compete with his team, CrossFit Mayhem Freedom, in the team competition. I've had the opportunity to get to know Rich a little bit over the past several years, competing on Team USA together in 2012 and again in 2014. And I've also had the opportunity to recently spend some time in his hometown, training at his gym, getting to know his family a little bit. And I've always been very impressed with not only the amazing athlete that he is, but the quality of his character and the great person that he is. CrossFit has given him this huge platform and has really allowed him to identify his purpose in life and use that platform to reach a lot of people in a very positive way. So we'll talk about a lot of those things coming up here in the episode. But before we get started, as this is our first episode, I'd like to invite you to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. So without further ado, let's get started with our very first episode of Pursuing Health with Rich Froning. We're going to start.
All right, let's start.
All right. So, welcome everyone to the very first episode of Pursuing Health. We're very lucky today to start out with the one and only Rich Froning, and we're here at his dad's house in Cookeville, Tennessee.
It's actually two of us, technically.
Two. Well, yes,
right? Don't say that in front of dad, yeah.
Both of us. We'll have to have him on, too.
You don't want that. Nobody wants that.
Maybe someday.
Not if you're doing it on healthiness. That's for sure.
Well, he does. What does he do to work out now?
He says he does his own CrossFit, moves rock and all that type of stuff.
But okay.
He just makes up projects, random projects. But he does keep moving, so I can't fault him for that. But
that's good. He does some he does a lot of rowing, right?
He does. He says he does rowing. I've never really seen him row, but he says he hops on the rower. We'll see.
Okay.
I need to check the memory every once in a while to see if there's any random spikes on the rower.
Right. Yeah, I just bought my parents a rower like a month ago, and my mom's like, I'm so happy your dad's on it, even though he only goes 500 meters.
That's the way dad was. Nothing. He was like, oh, I'm going to row. And I looked on it the one day. It was like 352 meters or something like
right.
that. I was like, hey, you're moving. Yeah. Better than nothing. Better than what you were doing.
Definitely. That's good. So what's new? What are you up to these days?
What's new? training for the games, but training with a different purpose, being mm-hmm. on a team. It's been good for me. It's been a lot less stressful. When I'm done training, mentally I'm done training for the day.
Mm-hmm.
I can be a husband. I can be a dad. So I needed that. I needed that balance last couple of years. I mean, you know how it is. To be good at anything, you got to be a little bit obsessive, and it was starting to take over other areas of life that I didn't need to. So having Lakeland helped that a lot.
Definitely. And so you said a little bit when you're done training for the day, you're done. But how has your day-to-day life changed?
I don't really know. You know, I still train a lot. I still mm-hmm. train pretty high volume. But I try to cram a lot of stuff in short amount of time so I can either, you know, in the middle of the day take a break and go hang out with the girls, or mm-hmm. I'm done by 4 or 4:30. And, you know, can be a dad, be a husband. And so you know, it's just been good. Like I said, mentally, it's been a lot better. Physically, not much has changed. I'm still working out a lot, but mentally, I'm done. You know, I don't have to think about what I need to do tomorrow. You know, what so and so's doing to get better than I am at that moment. You know, I can. Last year at 7, 8 o'clock, randomly, I'd be like, I need to get out on that rower, so I'd go on the rower, and now I can help give Lakeland a bath or do whatever. So it's been good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So what has it been like training for a team competition versus individual?
There's a lot of different pieces. You know, we still have to – you don't really know what you're going to do, just like the individual competition. So you still train individual aspects of fitness, you know, still doing individual workouts. But we do a lot of team stuff, a lot of – like yesterday – we did a little workout that was, we only had 5 of the people here. We were missing one of our girls. So we did a little workout where we had to carry a D ball a mile. And we had one 100 and one 80. And so 2 people could carry and we were trying to figure out. So it was good communication. We did a mile. Then we did 100 muscle ups as a team, 200, parallel handstand pushups, 300 GHDs weighted and 400 wall balls and then carried again for a mile. So, but 2 people could be working. So it was really good to just kind of figure out, you know, make sure somebody was always moving. And so there's a lot of communication stuff that goes into that. And usually, you know, when it's just you training as an individual, you can make stuff up on the fly. But when you have multiple people, you got to try to figure out how's the workout going to affect, you know, each individual person. Is everybody going to get a good workout? Does it need to be a workout that's a work to rest ratio? Is there a workout that everybody's working, you're just trying to accumulate reps? There's just a lot of different pieces that go into it, which I think is kind of good. It's been challenging. I think it makes you a better, you know, coach, better programmer, just to have those wrinkles thrown in there.
Right. What do you think, other than programming, what do you think has been the biggest challenge of preparing for a team?
You just got to figure out how to relate to different people. You know, different people have different motivation. Are, you know, some people you can not really get in their face, but you can, you know, motivate them by, you know, in some people are intense and other people are they've got to be babied a little bit. So it's been good to, you know, try to figure out, you work on your people skills that way too. So and then, you know, also with the programming side of it, you know, some people can handle a lot of volume, some people can't. So that's another thing that we've been trying to mess with and take into consideration.
Nice. Very good. And then you said a little bit about this earlier, but what do you miss the least about training for individual?
What I miss least, I guess, is just the stress of it and just the expectation and, you know, it was almost like the last 4 years I was supposed to win. It wasn't, you know, I guess I kind of did that to myself, but then you also, you know, all that pressure adds every year and, just gets harder and harder every year. So it's been good for me to just kind of step back, and there's still pressure to win on the team, and there's still the stress of wanting to win, but, you know, it's not all on my shoulders. It's kind of spread out between 6 people. So that helps a lot. Regionals it was just different. It was, you almost felt like you didn't do anything just because, you know, the workouts are so quick. You do a little part of it, and then you just sit there. And so I guess it was on, when was it, Saturday, when we had to do the run wall ball and then the handstand walk and snatch. I mean, I worked out for a total of maybe 4.5 minutes all day. So that was just, for me, it was weird.
Very unusual.
Yeah, so I was just like, what do I do now? Do I need to, like, I wanted to go do something else, but I didn't want it to affect the next day and affect everybody else. So I was like, I'm going to wait. But Sunday I ended up doing something after just because I was like, I don't feel like, mentally I felt like I'd competed. Because there was just a lot of up and down. You know, we struggled through event 3. So there was just a lot of emotional stuff going on. And so you felt, mentally you felt drained, but physically you felt, I'm not sore whatsoever. So
Just weird coming out of a competition.
Uh-huh.
Definitely. Did you watch any of the individual, or did you, what was that like?
Most of the time I went back to the hotel and watched it either on an iPad or whatever. It was just too hard to get out on the floor because then I can't really watch anything. Cause there's just so many people there. But yeah, it was cool to watch, and it's fun now for me to actually watch and not have a, you know, you know, we had a guy there and Dre, he was competing as an individual. So I wanted to watch that and see, you know, of course I wanted him to win, but it was fun to actually watch it as a spectator instead of as a competitor, because even when you're watching the other regionals, as an individual, you're still thinking about, you know, who's going to be right. your competition. And now it's just like, meh, it's not my competition. I don't care.
That's awesome.
So it's fun to watch.
So how was it watching, like, obviously you've been competing against those guys for the last four or five years. What was it like watching all them?
Yeah, it was fun. It was, you know, not just the Central, but, you know, watching the California regions, watching, you know, Dan do well.
Mm-hmm.
Hated it for Josh. But, you know, it's just, it was fun to watch and actually be a fan instead of, mm-hmm. like I said, have a vested interest in what was going on.
Right.
Just completely different, though. You know, I'd never really, we were talking about, one of the girls was like, so is the CrossFit Games fun? I was like, I've never had fun at the CrossFit Games. After it's over, yeah. you know, I recall stuff being fun post, but not during.
Right.
So it'll be a different challenge. And she was like, well, is it fun to watch? And I was like, I don't know. I've never watched the CrossFit Games. So.
Right.
I watched it in 2009 and I enjoyed it, but.
Right. I think if you're there in the right circumstances, it's fun. Like when I was there in 2013, I had taken the year off.
Yep.
To watch it was a blast.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go, you know, you miss qualifying or, you know, you're not
yeah.
there for some other reason, it would be hard to watch.
Yeah, it'd be tough
definitely.
To watch.
Definitely. All right. So let's talk a little bit bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
How has your life changed or even day to day or big picture from before CrossFit, like 2009, 2010 to right now?
Yeah, I've always enjoyed working out. You know, my major in college was exercise science.
Mm-hmm.
A couple hours away from finishing my master's, I still need to get on that. But, you know, I've always enjoyed physical activity, always played sports. I think competing is completely different than doing CrossFit as a you know, just to stay fit and to be able to, you know, do your daily life or play
mm-hmm.
a sport. I think it's completely different. So still trying to figure out, you know, where I am in that that matrix. But this year we've started playing a lot more sports and doing stuff like that. So, you know, CrossFit now, you know, getting into CrossFit, loved it, still love it. It was, you know, from doing just regular bodybuilding stuff, or, you know, not really bodybuilding stuff, but your normal, like, muscle, hitting your muscle groups and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that, doing CrossFit was awesome. You know, you get to do new things every day.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something to work on. When you get better at one thing and take too much time doing one thing, something else lacks or, you know, gets worse. So it's just fun, you know. There's always a new challenge. There's always somebody better than you at something.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me as a competitor, that's always been, you know, what motivated me to start out with. And, you know, I think it still motivates me. You know, I hate losing in anything. And so losing on, you know, running, swimming, that stuff really motivated me to start doing more of that stuff. So I think CrossFit does a really good job of that, of humbling people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even people that are good at some things, there's going to be a few holes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. How has it changed Cookeville or your community?
Yeah, I think Cookeville now, I mean, when I started, there was one CrossFit gym and there was only technically two classes. There's one class. It was just a 5 p.m. class at
mm-hmm.
CrossFit Cookeville, and Chip Pugh ran it out of the strength and conditioning weight room. And so there was only one class. Now there's four CrossFit gyms
mm-hmm.
in Cookeville, which is a pretty small town. I mean, there's probably 30,000 people
mm-hmm.
During the day, but there's a lot of people that are around Cookeville, so I think they say in the county there's about 100,000. But, I mean, we're running two classes in the morning, five classes in the evening, so there's seven classes right there just at one gym,
mm-hmm.
and those are pretty full, and so you've got four more gyms that are doing relatively the same thing. So,
right.
I mean, you got a lot more people doing CrossFit, that's for sure. And, you know, it's cool to see people getting excited about moving and excited about working out. Luckily, Cookeville's always been a pretty active community. There's a lot of stuff to do outside,
mm-hmm.
and there's waterfalls, lakes, all types of stuff. So there's a big running community before CrossFit, but now that there's CrossFit, there's a lot more stuff to do, so it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. And tell me about your neighbors.
We've
talked about this before when I was, I think, dragging a yoke around
mm-hmm.
your neighborhood.
Yeah, my neighbors are great now. When we first moved in, some of my neighbors, really just the ones across the street, didn't like the noise. And
mm-hmm.
then I think the husband actually got mad because there's a lot of guys with their shirts off. But as far as that, other than that, you know, it's kind of cool to run around the neighborhood and you'll see garages open and there's rowers and yokes and just rogue stuff. You know, my one neighbor was one of my assistant baseball coaches in high school, really good friend of mine, Mike Meals, and he got up to about 275 pounds because he's a principal at a middle school, you know, just busy all the time. Mm-hmm. And so he started doing CrossFit after he watched CrossFit games in 11 when I won, and started doing CrossFit in his YMCA and then bought some stuff. And mm-hmm. so now he has a fully functional gym in his garage and we work out quite a bit. But, you know, it's just cool to see, and he's lost 65 pounds.
Wow.
So, you know, just to see people get healthy and to do the things that they, you know, used to love to do. I mean, he was, he got drafted by the Yankees, played, wow. you know, double A ball. And so to see somebody that was a great athlete, you know, kind of fall off the wagon right. a little bit and then come back. And then now we play, we started a wood bat baseball league that we play oh, on wow. Sunday. So he's playing again. So it's just cool to see everything come full circle.
That's awesome. Cool. I want to talk a little bit about what you went through after the 2010 games.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. So, 2010, you know, it's pretty, there's a lot of videos, I think, or a few videos of me falling off the rope.
A couple.
Yeah, there's a couple. So, you know, I went to sectionals with no anticipation of doing anything other than, you know, just competing and having mm-hmm. fun. End up winning my sectional, went to regionals. My goal that year was to make it to regionals, but mm-hmm. We have goals, but you don't really know where those
right.
goals are going to go. And so I end up winning the region, went to the games, didn't want to get last place, end up being in first going into the final three events, actually into the final two events.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody knows the story on the rope and end up losing by 3 points. And so it's three places over the whole weekend. But I'd put too much emphasis on CrossFit. CrossFit had kind of become an idol, become what I thought defined me as a human being. You know, mm-hmm. you have success and it keeps building you up and, you know, you just feel better and better about yourself. And I wouldn't necessarily say, like, you know, I really just wanted to make people proud of me, of what I've done, and my family proud. And so when they were still proud of me for getting second. I mean,
right.
But to me, I felt like I let everybody down. I was just, you know, in a bad place. And so just didn't really know where I was going, what I wanted to do next with my life. Wasn't enjoying training. Wasn't enjoying CrossFit, you know, the thing that I'd come to love. I'd always loved working out, wasn't enjoying mm-hmm. it. Kind of hurt my back a little bit doing a deadlift. And so I couldn't put my socks on without, you know, I just mm-hmm. felt weak. And it was just a bad time, bad couple months. And so at that point, I started working at the strength and conditioning facility with Chip as an assistant. I started interning on level one staff. And so I was just kind of trying to figure out where I was going. And Chip did these Bible studies usually every Wednesday. So we just, you know, I'd grown up a Christian. I was born Catholic, but I kind of went to church because I had to, not because I wanted mm-hmm. to. Read my Bible and prayed, but more out of like, help me, very selfish. And so in, I guess it was in about December. So, you know, I've got a bunch of positive influences on me, Chip, Thomas Cox, Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
And Donovan, one night we were driving home from a level one. He went to the level one just as an attendee, and I was interning.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just talking, and he said, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? I was like, of course I would. You know, I grew up Christian. I was yeah. saved when I was 12. You know, I pray every night. I read my Bible. And then I started thinking. I was like, really, no. You know, like, I said I would. You know, it's like, yeah, of course. But then, you know, self-doubt starts to creep in, and I was like, I haven't been living like I say, you know, like in the Bible, what I've been reading, what Jesus, you know, how he tells us to live. And I was like, man, I don't know. And mm-hmm. so I really, at that point, I started reading from Matthew, the whole New Testament. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to need to change some things. And so I started, prioritizing things and end up getting baptized. Got the tattoo, the Galatians 6:14. Because when I read in Matthew, I was like, you know, Jesus got baptized when he was 30. I was 3 weeks old when I got baptized. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know what was going on. And so, you know, and I'm glad my parents did that. And, you know, I don't see a problem with that. But I felt like I needed to get rebaptized. And so I got rebaptized. And then, kind of my whole mentality changed from, you know, what can you do for me, God, to what can I do for you? And that's really been, mentally, that's been the driving force of, you know, the last 4 years, 5 years competing. So,
and you say that if that hadn't happened, you hadn't had that challenge with the rope, you don't think you would have ever won four times?
I don't think I would have won four times. It's hard to say, but I feel like the just my mind being in the right place, and instead of doing it for myself and for, you know, glory, I do it to glorify Him. And so I think it's a whole lot easier to do something for somebody else or something bigger than to just for yourself. You know, yeah, you want to do some stuff for yourself. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with being selfish every once in a while, but to being, you know, I think being selfless is better than being selfish.
And sort of giving you that bigger purpose for what you're doing, as opposed to, and that's always sort of your guiding force.
Exactly. You know, like every day I wake up, why am I doing this? You know, why I'm sore as crap. Why do I want to, you know, why am I going through this again? And so, and now, you know, I still do it. I'm trying to glorify Him, but now I also want to be a positive role model for my daughter and for, you know, I have two nieces, two young nieces, and I want to be able to play with them and go out and play some sports and do some stuff. You know, we play hockey, try to play hockey. Haven't played in the last little while. We play flag football in the fall. We started a baseball league this spring. So, you know, I try to get out and actually use it. You know, I feel like a lot of people just get caught up in the gym. And, and even if they're not competing, they just work out. It's like, get out and use it, you know.
Right.
Don't just stay in the gym.
That's awesome. So how has this changed? Now that you have this sort of change in mindset, how does it help you approach challenges or – help you make decisions?
Yeah, so I kind of, you know, everybody's like, so what's next? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I my goal right now is to win the CrossFit Games on a team, and I'll just keep doing that as long as I can, and I enjoy competing and have fun, but I've never really had a plan for life. You know, a lot of people, I'm sure you know, medical student, have a plan, but, you know, even growing up,
What they say, like, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan.
Exactly, yeah. And see, so it kind of comes around with this is, like, you know, I grew up, wanted to be a baseball player. That was my dream. Then I went to college, and I was like, this isn't fun. I don't want to do this anymore. So I was a firefighter, and I had every intention of staying a firefighter. Found CrossFit, found competing in CrossFit, found out I was pretty decent at it, started doing that. And then I just kind of – my plan is to just let God show me what He wants me to do. You know, I don't really have a set plan, but He always just shows me what my next step is, and hasn't failed yet. So I don't foresee that failing in the near future.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
Yeah.
So when you finally do fully retire from CrossFit, like no more competition, what do you hope to leave behind as sort of your legacy or how people remember you?
I think, you know, my legacy for one is I always talk about my faith, and I want the biggest thing is I wanted to reach people with Jesus, and, you know, tell them about Jesus. And I think, you know, I've been able to do that, but I want to continue to do that in, you know, whatever my next endeavor is. But, you know, I just, like I said, I want to be a good role model. I grew up, Barry Sanders was my role model. You being from Michigan, I don't know if you remember Barry Sanders, but, you know, he was just a humble, just, you know, he was a heck of an athlete, and I think the greatest running back of all time, but you wouldn't know it unless, you know, you saw him. He never flashy, never really did anything like that, but he was a great running back. So, you know, I just want to be a positive role model, and you know, hopefully motivate some people to turn their life around physically, spiritually, whatever.
That's awesome. All right, so as we wrap up, I have a couple questions, so just want you to tell me the first thing that comes to mind.
Speed round here?
Yeah. Well, you can think about it a little bit. They're not that hard.
Okay.
All right, so three things that you do on a regular basis that you think have the biggest positive impact on your health.
Sleep, which I don't do much of anymore because I have an 11-month-old. but I think sleep is huge, one of the biggest things.
How much do you sleep now?
Now? Depends. I try to get 8 hours. If I don't get 8 hours, then I'm not a happy person to be around. If I can get 9 or 10, used to, they would be awesome. You know, when I was training hard, that I've noticed the biggest thing I've noticed this year is with having Lakeland is the sleep.
Yeah,
is hard to recover and you know, It's just not fun.
Yeah.
But she's awesome.
Totally worth
she's,
it.
She's awesome 14 hours of the day. But sleep, of course, working out. I think, you know, you got to move. You got to do something. Mm-hmm. And then I think you got to have fun. I think people get too caught up in, you know, stressing about working out. You know, working out is supposed to be a stress relief, not an added stress.
Yeah.
So sleep, stress, workout.
Awesome.
Sleep, no stress, workout.
Yeah, we don't want stress. All right, how about one thing that you think would probably have a big impact on your health, but you just haven't been able to do it?
Diet. Diet. I like food. You know, I started working out when I was younger so I could look good with my shirt off and so I could eat food. So I like to eat, you know.
Yeah.
So, but luckily, Paleo Power Meals does give us some food, and it helps a lot with it because it does taste really good. It's just... socially, it's awkward to, you know, like we're
right.
grilling out and doing stuff, and I'm like, let me pull out my little, you know, package of food. So, you know, I still, at dinner, I don't really usually eat that well. Throughout the day, mm-hmm. I try to eat better.
So it's more like social gatherings that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, Hillary's like, you're not going to eat my dinner? And I'm like, all right, I don't really eat. So.
And she cooks some good, what was that cheese?
Oh, that jalapeno dip?
Yeah, jalapeno dip.
Yeah.
That was really good.
That was real good.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be able to resist that.
Then you dip it with peppers. So, you know, it's good. It's still good.
Totally fine. All right. And then last question is, what does a healthy life look like to you?
Does a healthy look life to me? Healthy life look like to me? You know, I think it's you know, working out 4 or 5 times a week if you can, being able to function through your life. You know, if you have kids, play with your kids. I think sport is a big thing. I love, you know, me being a sports guy. I don't want to just watch them. I want to be able to play them. So mm-hmm. I want you to, you know. I think people being able to do the things that they love to do, maybe not even sport, but just getting outside and using that fitness. And then I think spiritual health actually goes into that too. So, you know, trying mm-hmm. to get in the word and pray or, you know, whatever that release is. I think you need that.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you're definitely living a very healthy life.
Try to.
If
I
anyone
to.
Was concerned.
I try to. Other
Rich Froning is living a very healthy life.
Other than the diet. I'm asleep right now.
All right, so that was Rich Froning, and thank you all for listening to our first episode.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Well, thanks for coming out
here. Thank you so much for listening to this first episode of Pursuing Health. Again, if you like what you hear, please go over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast. I'd also really love to hear your feedback. So if you can, please go to my website, juliefouche.com, and under this episode in the comments, please leave your feedback, suggestions, good or bad. I'd like to hear it all. Also, if you're on social media, hashtag JFHealth, and I'll try to respond to your comments there and use them for feedback for future episodes. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.